From the good life in Lincoln, Nebraska, this is the Stop Chasing, Start Living show, where together we dig into the world of faith and finances to discover how God wants so much more for us than we could ever ask or imagine. I'm your host, Scott Ernstmeyer, so let's start living. I'd like to welcome everybody back to Stop Chasing, Start Living. My name is Scott Ernstmeyer. I have the privilege of serving as your host for this show. And if you were with us last time, you had an opportunity to kind of look back in history and walk through why the Reformation is actually a really important history component to the church and what came from actually the things that took place during the Reformation and really how we should be celebrating that even today, the blessings that came out of that. And so that was a fun show. But today I'm really excited to talk about a topic that I think hits literally every house, sometimes really, really hard every year. And so as we get into the topic today, it's really talking about holiday spending and all the things going on around Thanksgiving, Christmas, all the things that we tend to maybe spend or overspend money on. And I'm excited to welcome into the show Nicole Mueller today. This marks my first official husband-wife helping to co-host two different shows. I did have a husband and wife on a single show. If you caught the one with Bob and Deanne Wanger, they actually played nice in the sandbox together. So that was a lot of fun. But today, I'm really excited to bring Nicole in and talk about kind of her background and experience. She's had a chance to do some teaching alongside Nathan in the financial stewardship, biblical stewardship space, especially with young couples, but also even through Financial Peace. And then you know, her background, she has a chance to serve at Emeritus here in town in the marketing and training area and is a leader in that space. And but I think she has some really practical experience too that she can share with us today. So Nicole, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're super excited for that. And I'd just like you to start off by sharing a little about your kind of personal journey in life, your background, family, that kind of thing.
Sure. So married, have two kids. That one is almost out of elementary school.
Crazy.
I know. And the other's in middle school. And so they're just grown up fast. And then we've got a dog at home as well.
Nice.
And like you said, I work in marketing and training at an insurance company here in Lincoln. Mm-hmm. And have been there for about 15 years. So
awesome.
That's been great.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then really have enjoyed helping lead some of these pre-marriage classes that are in kind of this focus on finances. That's the course that Nathan and I are usually helping teach, and just really talking with these sometimes younger couples, sometimes a little older, but going to this next phase of their lives together and thinking about what is going to change, what are the factors that they need to think about. Mm-hmm. And really with finances, there's a million different things.
Right.
So what insurance do they need to consider? Mm-hmm. How do they budget? And then we do talk about things like, okay, if you're trip planning or you're planning for holiday spending, you need to have these conversations. Mm-hmm. And so I think this is a really nice tie-in, and I love helping with those classes and being able to talk to those couples.
That's awesome. And having a daughter that just went through that transition with a wedding a couple months ago, you know, getting into that space. And I think they even had this conversation the last month. It's like, two checking accounts or one checking account,
right?
You know, those kinds of things couples really have to kind of have figured out going in, so that it doesn't create a tension where they didn't intend for it to be conflict or edgy.
Finances are a huge disruptor, because money is integrated so much into our everyday lives.
Right.
And so having those discussions beforehand, before it is like conflict moment, is really, really important.
Yeah. Doing that goal setting together is huge. So I'd love for you to start out usually with any of my guests. I think understanding our own journey with money and giving is super important in terms of the context within which we teach it or hear it or understand it. I'd love for you to kind of share just a little bit about your background growing up, you know, what it was like in your home. And then as you and Nathan kind of started your family and had to start really figuring out your goals together, what did that look like for the two of you?
Yeah. For me growing up, talking about money and finances and things wasn't done a whole lot. Mm-hmm. But one thing when I kind of think about financial planning or budgeting and things like that. One thing that does stand out in my mind is my parents had really taught and instilled in myself and my younger brother kind of this method of saving. And so we always had these three buckets.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people do this. Yeah. It's something that Nathan and I do with our kids too. And I mean, we literally had Tupperware containers or little piggy banks. And one was for spend, one for save, and one for donate. And really just thinking that that donation really is like your church offering or what you're giving back to God. And knowing that a portion of what you make through chores or work or whatever should go to that. And it wasn't ever a three-way split completely. There's different percentages, like most adults do as well. But then you have what you're saving more long-term and what you spend. And so, like I said, that's something that we really have instilled with our kids as well as they do chores and then thinking about, okay, what I'm not gonna probably buy everything. So if you want to buy that game or candy or save to buy gifts for others for holidays, we've had these discussions with our kids too. You have those resources and they are in those different buckets.
Yeah, that's great. And it's such a simple framework. You can get a very complex budget as a family, but even that framework right there is a very simple framework because you've got the idea that there's a long-term issue with the saving piece. There's immediacy to saying, am I prioritizing my gift back to God? And then everything else has to fit in the spending category. Now there's a lot of pieces to that pie as you get older and more complex budgets, but I think, you know, I find the challenge just philosophically for a lot of people is they get into a rhythm. If they haven't learned like you did growing up, they get into a rhythm of spend, maybe try to figure out save, but the whole give thing might be foreign or it becomes very hard to build that back into a budget.
So just to kind of go into your other question as far as then how Nathan and I kind of integrated how, you know, his background, with money or his ideas on saving and spending and things like that. I think probably growing up, our mindset had been built similarly, but not exactly the same. And just naturally, he's a little bit more of a spender because I am, I'm a saver and he would just say frugal. So
I love it.
So there were definitely differences as far as like how much maybe he would be willing to spend on something versus me. And that came down to the holidays as well. And so we, as we were budget planning, when we were newly married, really talking about here are our expenses. We understand these are things throughout the year that we have to spend money on. And everyone should be doing that. Here's kind of what we have left and what are our hopes and dreams and desires for this money, moving forward, you know, saving for a house or taking a trip or whatever. But we know, cause holidays come around every year, what do we need to save and keep back for that? And a lot of where those, discussions centered around, which I think can be helpful for people is how many people do you think you're going to have to buy for? And then what is that math equation of what you have left? And it's not always going to be, you know, X divided by Y equals I'm going to spend this much on each person because there are maybe people that you want to spend a little bit more on and that's okay. So it's not a super simple math problem, but it gives you an idea that, oh, maybe I shouldn't be spending $200 on my aunt twice removed. But that is a little bit of the difference that he and I had. Also, he's got a bigger extended family than I do.
Which matters.
And so for him, he wasn't used to, and he was very comfortable with maybe not buying for all his cousins or his aunts and uncles because there are just so many of them. Whereas I have a smaller extended family. And so for me, that was really important. You know, I don't have that many other family members. And so I do want to get something for them and it doesn't have to be anything extravagant, but it needs to go into the budget. I need to calculate for that.
And I think that's a really cool perspective. Just you both witnessed different giving thresholds growing up. If it was important to your parents or your mom or your dad, whichever one, to give to those members of the extended family, and he wasn't seeing that same level of giving, that's a very different approach that you have to kind of get on the same page with as a couple.
Well, and geographically, mm-hmm. a lot of my family was closer. So we physically get together for the holidays.
And then it's almost like an automatic is the gifting part of it.
So just different factors that everyone should consider how their family situation is. And then what are the capabilities financially?
That makes total sense. So I think one of the things that's always interesting to dig into a little bit, like, what is it about the holidays that get people so wound up, get them so charged up? You know, I know there's very specific structures to the holidays, things that we do that are part of our rhythms, but why do we get into this spending spree? Like, what do you think is under the hood there in terms of what gets people maybe spiraling a little bit out of control during this time of the year?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's a few things. I think as a culture, we have really kind of equated the joy of the holidays with gift giving.
Very true.
And just connecting them, putting them hand in hand. It makes it difficult then to separate them say there still is joy in the holidays of spending time with your friends and family and really thinking about what is the purpose of the season, you know, what that focus shouldn't be just the gifts, right? But they really have been coupled together.
Yeah.
And also the fast pace and easy access of everything, social media, you know, seeing other people,
Amazon.
Oh my gosh, look what I got. This is amazing. Right. Oh, should I get that too? Yep. Does my kid need this? Does my spouse need this? Do I need this? Mm-hmm. Right. It's 24/7 at your fingertips.
Yep.
So the immediacy that, you know, kind of,
it's addictive almost in some ways for some people.
It really is. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, the social media aspect, the advertising that's just in your face and the ability to purchase something so quickly and sometimes get it the very next day.
Right.
It gets people a little crazy. I mean, you get caught up in it.
For sure. And I think it's maybe important. Maybe this isn't a differentiation we should make, but in my mind, it's... I'm married to someone whose love language is giving gifts. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't always have to be purchased gifts. It can be baked goods, that kind of thing. But her love language is giving gifts. Mm-hmm. It is not mine. Mm-hmm. And I stink at it. But because that's a love language, it really creates this urgency in her heart to say, I've got to. Because that I want to bless others. And I think that's different than being a spendthrift and being competitive and being like, I got to get the best gifts. I think those are two different things, but having that love language of being the gift of giving without a plan, it can look kind of the same way.
Yes. And I think that's key, right? Again, as we talk about like, what are your priorities when you're setting a budget? Mm-hmm. If you know that one of your love languages is giving gifts and that's important to you, that brings you joy during the holidays, that's wonderful. Budget for it.
Yeah. And I think, and part of it is like, Sarah, if she was sitting here to say, well, you never tell me what I'm supposed to spend, you know, like it. And so in that space, I think in some ways, like getting to that position, and I think Nathan does a good job of teaching this overall when talking about budgets, it's like, the budget isn't supposed to be something that's constrictive. It's actually supposed to be freeing. And I even think about Sarah and where kind of she kind of gets wound up like, am I overspending, that kind of thing. You know if you are or not, if you actually put pen to paper and create a budget for it. And you can actually then be kind of released to do your giving and gifting in a very healthy, joy-filled way.
Yes, I agree.
Well, one of the things that I think families can really get in a place where they overspend and they really get overextended. Obviously if they have a budget and a plan, they're going to have a better chance of not doing that. But what do you think adds to this? Like January, February, I'm digging out of my credit card pile and now I didn't realize I really spent that much, or I'm not feeling like I don't have a plan to even maybe get that caught back up.
Sure. Well, I mean, you mentioned it right there, right? Credit cards make it really easy to just keep spending as well. And so I think keeping that in mind and trying to be really diligent about not spending more than you know you're going to be able to pay back quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's something that we teach in those financial sessions is just to really have a handle, an idea on what you are spending, because the credit card debt just gets you in more and more trouble. Mm-hmm. And you don't want having tried to just spend money to bring joy during the holidays to then bring you stress and financial burden in the next year. So I think that's a really easy way to get into the overspent area. Yep. And then also just not tracking what you've purchased.
That was where I was going to go with this. Yep.
And so whether it's because I'm getting older and can't remember anything or because I will just say it's because I'm a very organized person and try to be really detailed, but keep a list. Honestly, write down the names of the people that you want to buy for. Mm-hmm. And then when you purchase that gift, write it down.
Yep.
Because then you can just reference it and you see something, mm-hmm. right? You see something online. You're like, oh, my dad would really like that. I think maybe did I already get him a gift?
This looks familiar to me.
Look at your list. Oh yeah, I did. And he's really going to love that. And then just move on or make note of it for the next, you know, celebration, holiday, whatever. But I think that's another way that we can get overspent is just by purchasing and purchasing and purchasing and forgetting that maybe we already bought something for somebody.
And there's probably an actual term for this, but it's almost like the Amazon guessing game where the package comes and I'll ask the question, what's this? I'm not sure. Then said package gets open and then there's that quizzical look like, did I really order this? I'm trying to remember who this is even for, you know? So like to that point of like being able to kind of build out a plan and have that like even, you know, captured somewhere in a list so that you're keeping track of it, can bring a little bit more sense of peace too. Like, did I check all the things off the bot? Did I get what I really wanted to get for everybody and not forget something and the mad scramble at the end too?
Yes. Yes.
So as you've kind of mentioned this already. So, as you think about even a young couple, kind of stepping into this space, or somebody that maybe knows they need a reset, gotta try to do this all over again. There's probably an ideal time to try to budget for the holidays. And then there's probably if I'm right up against the holidays, like, how do I do that? So when you think about kind of the ideal time, you've kind of alluded to the fact that you almost have to look at your entire year and your holiday spending has to be a part of that process. You talk a little bit about maybe how you arrive. You kind of talked about numbers and people and averages and that kind of thing, but you know, you're doing it in an ideal way. What does that look like from your perspective?
You know, the earlier, the better, so that you don't run up on that timeline of, okay, well, I haven't figured it out yet. And I just have to start buying stuff. Beginning of the year is a really nice time to do it because then typically you can look back at the year before and see what were your expenses. Mm-hmm. And so as you're building out a full annual budget, you at least have some semblance of an idea, right? You're getting close to it. Yes. You may have either surprise expenses or cost of something goes up in the next year. That definitely happens, but you have a general idea and then you can kind of do that calculation to see, okay, here's what I'm left with. Make those educated guesses. If it is getting into a little bit of a time crunch, I would say most people have a general idea of what amount that they would be working with, hopefully. And then you do just really have to think about, okay, it's this number of people. So yeah, definitely planning the earlier, the better. And the beginning of the year is a nice time to do it.
Yeah. And I think there's some other strategies that can be helpful as well. I know that, you know, sometimes it's like you can almost gift randomly, if that makes sense, versus I know one of the cool things that Sarah did once the kids started getting a little older, you know, when they're young, it's pretty easy to throw lots of little things at them and they might have 20 different little small boxes under the tree. And that's kind of some of the fun joy of it. And, you know, a lot of times not any one of them is too expensive, but then as they get older and they get a little harder to buy for, it's like, okay, so now what? So I've got kids now that are 20, 22 and 25, if I got that math right. And so, we're in this space, like, okay, things are a little more expensive that they might want, but also can you simplify it? And one of the things Sarah kind of got into a strategy with is like, okay, they each get three things. Mm-hmm. somewhat mirroring the wise men, you know, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so it's kind of like almost modeling what we saw scripturally when the Magi came and visited Jesus. And so, you know, there's some symmetry, some Trinity and all Trinitarian in all of that. But ultimately that actually creates some version of some boundaries. Now, sometimes it's a three boxes and there might be multiple things in one of the boxes, but it at least it creates a framework for specifically with our core family of like, what does this gifting look like?
I would also say consider, I like that approach a lot, but if you are feeling pressure of, I have to have all of these things and the quantity is what you have in your head as far as like, oh, I want 100 presents under the tree because that makes it feel like Christmas or whatever. And you're feeling overwhelmed because, maybe from that number or financially, I would say consider, is there a different approach? You know, we have tried to lean into things like experiences instead of trying to reach that higher number of gifts and, you know, making sure that there's X number under the tree. Are there tickets to shows that the kids or that Nathan and I would enjoy going to, a trip and that may or may not be a difference in the financial spend, but the memories are really wonderful and something that probably is going to mean more to your family and last longer, than whatever gift.
So that it's funny you bring that up because our oldest sent a text this week. And of course she's fresh off of all the wedding gifts and all the other stuff that came with a wedding. And of course she sends the text to the family like, I don't really need anything for Christmas this year. Let's just go on a trip next summer, you know? So like even adult kids start kind of realizing that maybe that's a little bit more fun than something that maybe I really didn't want that gets purchased for me at Christmas time anyway. Love it. So, one of the things I wondered about too, from the standpoint of, just that kind of spending process and, getting into this space. One of the things that I think oftentimes can happen too, is that pressure to spend in the holiday season, can actually put you in a place where you don't have margin to even consider helping out others in need or making gifts that for those that are less fortunate. Or maybe giving in general, maybe it's really hard to feel like you're giving to church or these other things. Maybe talk a little bit about why margin matters, from the budgeting process and the planning matters when it comes to just having the ability to respond to things that maybe you weren't quite planning on supporting, you know, whatever need that you hear about, but now all of a sudden that need comes up and it's like, oh, we actually have some resources here that we can choose to help out with.
It's almost the idea of like the emergency fund in your budget. And maybe it's more like a holiday buffer fund or something like that. And that's definitely a part of the calculation that anyone could put into their budget. And maybe it's that way of thinking, like it's almost that borderline of the spend and donate bucket. Right.
For sure.
And so it's knowing that you're going to want to have some funds for that. I would say also think about other ways that you can give during the holidays. You know, where can you volunteer?
For sure.
Yourself as an individual, your family, things like that, because your time is really valuable to a lot of organizations over the holidays too.
A creative thing that Sarah's parents have done, they've kind of split the grandkids into groups of two. It's been neat to see, you know, what they end up doing is saying, we want to make a gift on your behalf, but to support an organization.
Yes.
Here's your list of choices. And then it allows their grandkids to kind of get involved in like, oh, we know that this gift is going to bless others. So there's a cool interaction there, but then ultimately there's a reminder that we don't have to be the ones getting gifts.
Yes.
It's okay for others to be blessed. And it just doesn't have to be about me. There's this opportunity to look outward and be a blessing to other places.
I really like that. Actually, I was just talking to my mom last night about something similar. My grandma, doesn't need more stuff, but right. she actually asked if we as a family would do that and donate
awesome.
To an organization that she's really close to.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to do that for her for Christmas this year. And, you know, different ways to give and donate as well, involving the whole family, would be like an angel tree at church, or like, coats and mittens yep. and things like that for those in need over the holidays. Yep. And that's a really wonderful way to involve
yeah.
the kids too, and say, you know, look, we have a young boy or young girl who's looking for a game, mm-hmm. or they need a nice warm coat for the winter. And
right.
so then you can all go to the store and pick something out, and it really helps, mm-hmm. You know, share that holiday joy.
I think too, you know, we talked about the ones that randomly pop up, but one of your strategies can literally be, we're going to set aside X dollars and see where we can be a blessing, like mm-hmm. have this intentionality to
yes.
it. I think some of the most fun gifts Sarah and I have given over the years is, you know, knowing that maybe a teammate where I was serving was going through a financial hard time, or I knew, you know, we knew there maybe would be a benefit for having a little extra cash to buy Christmas presents at that time of the year, and literally taking an envelope, putting cash in it, no name, nothing, and placing it in a mailbox in the workplace, and mm-hmm. knowing that we don't need any credit for that. Like, that's not the point, but more of like, there's just a smile, this joy inside, knowing that that person, that family is going to be blessed mm-hmm. with a gift that they didn't see coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think there's some fun things that you can really instill in your kids. You can find ways to do that as a family too.
Yeah.
Pay it forward type of thing. So as you think about just the whole idea of the holiday chaos, you know, if someone was really struggling with this or totally spun up in it, any words of wisdom or advice that you'd have that would just like how you could help somebody maybe find a sense of peace or at least a start in this space?
Sure. I would say really think about your goals for the holidays, but also really consider the people that you are buying for over the holidays are probably very close friends and family, people that you love and care mm-hmm. about and who love you and care about you. They don't want you overextended.
Right.
They don't want you to be in a financial hardship place to purchase them a gift.
Right.
And so think about that. Think about, you know, what can you do, maybe spending more time with them and ways to really amplify that mm-hmm. during the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't want you stressed
right.
as well. And then, you know, if you are overly concerned, worked up about it, or, you know, maybe overextending mm-hmm. already, you're not going to be able to enjoy the holidays either.
For sure.
And I know sometimes that is easier said than done, but I would say really thoughtfully consider the people in your life
mm-hmm.
don't want you to be in right. a difficult position. They want you to enjoy the holidays too.
Amen.
And I love what, you know, you kind of talked about the homemade gifts or like baking things. And that is a great option.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes people shy away from that.
Almost like I'm cheap or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
But honestly, a homemade, handmade gift.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of family members would really appreciate
yep.
that.
Yep.
So consider if there are things that you can do in that vein.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you cook something or create something for
yeah.
somebody else?
That's awesome. Anything we didn't talk through that we just didn't quite get to in these previous questions? Anything else that kind of stands out to you in this wonderful world of the holiday chaos?
One thing that I had been thinking about coming into this conversation was just how maybe you approach holiday spending with your kids if they have some funds that they would like to spend as
yeah.
well. That's something that our kids really got excited about when
yeah.
they had a little bit of money to play with.
Yeah.
When they wanted to go out as well and shop and buy things mm-hmm. for their family members for Christmas.
Yeah.
And we had very similar conversations with them that we had had with each other. It's just, okay, how many people do you want to buy
right.
for? And all of a sudden, it's really interesting to see kids have that understanding of, oh, so I wanted to get, you know, maybe like a $30 thing for grandma or mm-hmm. grandpa or my cousin or whomever. Yeah, that's probably not going to work out because
if I do that for three or four people, all of a sudden, whoa, that's a lot of money.
Well, or I want to buy for 10, 15 right. people. My kids don't have a $500 Christmas right. budget of their own to spend. They right. don't. So it's going through that exercise with yeah. them too. And then it's always fun for us to go to the store and just say, okay, now remember, this is your price range yep. and we might be at Five Below or yeah, whatever. And exactly. so looking at, okay, yes, they, even though it may be small, mm-hmm. you know, I think your cousin's really going to enjoy this. Yeah, and then they still sure. have that joy of, yeah, I bought that with yeah. my money that I worked hard to earn.
Yeah,
and
so that's cool.
Just going through that same process with them too, I think is important for them to understand how far their money goes and things like that.
For sure. It's a great, great learning tool,
yeah.
real life experience. I know other families get creative too with that. I know as kids get older, sometimes then you can get into more of a gift exchange idea where maybe everybody draws a name and you're yeah, only buying yeah. for one of the cousins instead yep. of for every cousin. Or, we do kind of a blended, it's kind of almost like a white elephant gift exchange where there's a fun, there's a couple fun gifts that come back every year.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh man, am I going to get that gift this year?
You get stuck with it.
But you put dollar amount limits on it yes. and then let people have fun with it. And yes. then it becomes the experience of actually opening the gifts and stealing from each other. And, you know, that becomes the memory builder as opposed mm-hmm. to really being worried about, man, did I get what I really wanted for Christmas?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's yes. awesome. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. I like to close each show with a prayer. So we're gonna go to God in prayer. Father God, I just thank and praise you for being the ultimate gift giver. And you have so many examples, but the greatest is that of Jesus and the gift of what he means for us. And as we get into this end of year holiday season, we need to be reminded. The reason for this whole celebration is because it's the birth of your son, Jesus. And oftentimes finances can almost take the joy out of that. And so Lord, as we think about those opportunities to set goals and try to create some boundaries and then take the time to make the list and kind of track. Those things can bring a sense of peace and actually controlled joy, as opposed to those random, maybe pushing us into a space where we're overspending. Lord, we know you want us to have margin in our lives. We want to have that margin so we can be a blessing to others. And so Lord, we just pray in advance for those listeners today that maybe this it brings anxiety to think about Christmas shopping and then that process, Lord. I just ask that you would help take that first step of planning and creating a structure and trying to wrestle this, just one step at a time. So we just thank you in advance for how you're going to work through that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you so much for joining today. I really appreciate you being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Awesome. And to our listeners, we're going to encourage you to start living.
Thank you for tuning in to Stop Chasing, Start Living. This has been a production of Messiah Lutheran Ministries. Make sure you subscribe to Messiah Lutheran on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen so you never miss an episode. Want to learn more about Messiah Ministries? Visit us at messiah.us. Our goal is to be a resource to you as you grow in your relationship with Christ and in your generosity. If you would like to connect with Scott, please send an email to scott.ernstmeyer@messiah.us. Thanks again for listening. Now let's start living.